Hello and welcome to the 10 Minutes of Safety podcast series. This is part of the really series of the safety manual section. I talk a lot about staying calm and in the type of emergencies that may be encountered on a job site. Really important to make good decisions. And in order to make good decisions, we have to be calm and present. Panic really causes poor decision making. Almost always a panicking victim in the water will drown for sure because they can't relax and let their lungs fill with water and be buoyant. But it is really important to stay calm. And I guess I've been groomed for this position my whole life. I've had so many things happen to me where being calm has really served me well. I will take you on a journey through two stories. These stories were actually before I ever even became 18. I wasn't even an adult yet. And I had two people that I grew up with got into some really serious situations. I was involved in one of them, actually as a passenger of a motorcycle. And the other one was just happened while I was walking to school. And it was really quite the major impact that had lifelong lasting impacts. So I'll tell you the story about when I was on my way to school. And you know, it's just a regular school morning, kind of a crisp morning like it is right now. And just every day we would try to take a shortcut through the neighbor's yard. And the neighbors had this big Irish setter, and he was very territorial and would chase us. And this morning I didn't have any friends with me, so I walked around and went the long way. And as I'm coming down the hill, I see one of the girls that I was growing up with. Her name was Brenda, and she was running across this open field with this red Irish setter just right on her heels, chasing her down the hill. And I watched this, and I was like, whoa. And as I'm walking down the hill, Brenda comes off this ledge about 8 feet, kind of a dirt embankment, and lands like right in front of me. Now, I don't remember if I threw rocks at the Irish setter or not. I know I should have, but I don't think I just, the dog, you know, kind of understood that she was out of his territory and backed off and ran it back to the house. But here's Brenda just like basically falling out of the sky, laying on the ground in front of me. And I'm 12, I'm going into the seventh grade. And I look at Brenda and I go, are you okay? I didn't know what to do. I wasn't trained by any means. And she's like, no, I'm not okay. Ow, my ankle really hurts. And I looked at her and her ankle had a compound fracture. Now, I couldn't see the bone because it hadn't come through the sock, but it definitely came through the skin because her sock was turning red as the blood was coming out from her wound. And a car was driving by and I flagged the car down and the window rolled down and, hey, is everything okay? I'm like, no, we need to get some help. Something happened to my friend. I think her leg's broken. And this is way before cell phones and stuff. So the person had to drive to, you know, the nearest phone or went to a house, because I really didn't pay any more attention to that person because my focus shifted onto Brenda. And she was in a lot of pain and really scared. And I kneeled down next to her and I grabbed her hand and I started talking to her. And I said, everything's going to be okay. We got these people. They're going to go get you some help. And I could really sense the shift in her like mood and in the whole sort of environment that we were in just kind of changed, where she didn't feel alone and she knew help was coming for her. And so I continued to talk to her and I tried to distract her and talk about other things besides the injury. And I actually, at one point, I got her to laugh a little bit and, you know, like, you're stupid for saying whatever I was saying to her. But the important part is that I stayed with her and I stayed present in the moment and I didn't panic and start freaking out because I saw the blood. Because had I done that, it would have turned for the worse for sure, because that raises, you know, vital signs, blood pressure gets high. Even though we're kids, you know, the physiological aspect of what's going on doesn't change. And I told her I would stay there with her and I'm going to be here and don't worry and helps on the way. And shortly thereafter, the fire department showed up and took over care. And she's remembered that for her whole entire life. And being calm in that moment was really important and kind of a message that I want to share. And the other story who relates to this and being calm is with her brother Sean. Her brother Sean and I used to ride on his motorcycle. He had a motorcycle and he would take me to my girlfriend's house. And he always liked to be a show off. And I would ride on the back of his motorcycle. And he picked me up from my girlfriend's house in this little neighborhood called Creek Park in La Mirada. And we went down this kind of windy road on his motorcycle. And every once in a while, Sean would just, he would get these crazy thoughts, and he just thought he was like Evel Knievel, and he was going to jump his motorcycle as a 440 Kawasaki. And we came into the parking lot area at Creek Park at the bottom lower level parking. And it was kind of a steep drop off. It was a regular entrance approach ramp, concrete approach ramp. And he like gassed it, and he was trying to get air, but it wasn't working. And as I was sitting on the back of the motorcycle, I saw the gauges come up over his head. The speed and the tachometer gauges came up over his head, and we were gonna loop it. So I hit the eject button. I jumped off the back of the motorcycle, which helped the front come down a little bit so that he didn't loop it. And I took 3 steps like Neil Armstrong on the moon. If you can imagine your body traveling through space and time at about 40 miles an hour. But I was young and I was agile like a cat. I was in my tree trimming years, and I actually just burned the back seam of my Levi's off of my rear end and took 3 steps and traveled probably 75 feet, maybe almost 100 feet, and was able to maintain my balance. And Sean's motorcycle had wheelied and into the embankment, and he had hit the embankment and fell over, and the motorcycle was laying on top of him. And he was at full throttle. He just had the full throttle pinned on him, and the bike was on his side. And I was so pumped up with adrenaline and emotion. And I just grabbed this motorcycle, which I don't know how much it weighs, but it was a pretty decent sized motorcycle. And I literally just threw it. I picked it up off of him and threw it about 10 feet. And kneeled down next to Sean, and he had known that I was CPR trained, and he started, "I can't breathe. I need CPR. I need CPR." And I remained calm, and I know because at that point I did have some first aid training from the Red Cross when I was 14. In order to go to the beach, my mom made me take a Red Cross first aid lifesaver course, so I had been CPR trained. And he knew that. He's like, "Give me CPR," and I know that he's talking so that I don't give him CPR because he's not a unresponsive victim. So there was a girl that watched it happen, and again yelled 911, "Go get 911." And he keeps telling me, "Give me CPR. I'm gonna die. I'm gonna die." And I'm like, "No, Sean, you're okay, bro. I'm gonna stay here." And I remained calm. And the fire department came and picked him up and took him to the hospital, where he flatlined on the table twice. Sean actually went and died 2 times, but they were able to bring him back. And what had happened is the handlebars had went into his stomach, ruptured his spleen without any indication of internal damage, none whatsoever. There was no tear in the external skin or anything like that. So if I would have panicked and started doing CPR on Sean while he laid there, I just would have pushed blood out of his body, or out of his circulatory system and into the cavities of his body, and most likely killed him. So the moral of the story of all of this is remain calm. And even though the first story I didn't know what I was doing, the second story I did have some information, but I was able to apply being calm to both situations and was able to have those outcomes turn much more positive. And these are stories that are so fresh with me. And as I tell them, I almost get emotional, especially about Sean. And I was able to remain calm in really, really challenging times in my life. And I encourage all of you listening to this podcast to do the same. When things look bad and things look dark, you need to be calm and think things through before acting. So I got some more stories coming today. I hope you enjoyed these ones. Just remember to be calm and think things through before taking action at the scene of an emergency. Have a great day.